Welcome to the With Counseling podcast. I'm JJ Blanford, founder and therapist at With Counseling. On today's episode, we're going to be answering the question, does therapy actually work?
Yeah, so I went to lunch with a friend this week, and I walked in and he was like, so what do you even do in therapy? This is somebody who had never, you know, been in therapy before, you know, has no familiarity with it. And I thought it was a really good question. Like, does therapy even work? And what do you even do? So I figured we could talk about that.
Well, and I love this question because, of course, I think it works. This is literally what I do.
I hope so.
Yeah. For work. Yeah. And I agree. I think it's totally a valid and appropriate question of why do people go to therapy? Like, what is the point?
Yeah.
And so we've kind of been talking about it and decided, why not make an episode around it?
I think it's a question, like, it's such a basic question. And I think if you've been in the world, like we have, you're a therapist, I've been in the, you know, kind of around the mental health world, it just seems like a no-brainer or something, you know, but like, that's not how most people function.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think even where we are post pandemic, right, there was a lot of talk around mental health during the pandemic, right, and it was appropriate for people to seek therapy because we were living through something that we'd not experienced before. And so I'm always amazed when people are like, I'm so glad the stigma around mental health, you know, has gone away. And I'm like, I do not know what world you live in, but there's still...
Well, it depends on your circle, right?
Yes. Yeah. And there's still very much a stigma. You can say you're pro-counseling, but maybe not for yourself.
Yeah. Counseling for thee and not for me. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think to just kind of get into the idea of does therapy work? Yes, is like the basic answer.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to get to the yes. I think what so many people don't know about therapy, and I have this conversation with clients all the time, whatever you're expecting therapy to be, it's not going to be that. Like, it's just not. You can't envision what sitting with someone, processing through your stuff is going to feel like.
Yeah.
How the therapist is going to respond, what is going to come up for you. I have so many soapboxes. We could just like do a podcast on all my soapboxes.
JJ's soapboxes. Yeah. People would run for that one. For
I'm sure,
sure yeah,
they would. Right, right. Actually, I told a client, I was commenting on my soapboxes, and I had a client who said, this is why I pay you. I appreciate all your soapboxes.
You
and
go.
I was like, just the affirmation I needed. But one of my many soapboxes is that everyone who chooses to go to therapy starts with the thing that feels comfortable to them. And sometimes we do talk about that, work on that in therapy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is what turns people off, right? I came to talk about anxiety.
Right.
And as we start to unpack that, maybe you're anxious because your marriage is unstable. You are in a financial situation of your own. You have maybe created that with some habits.
Right.
You may be struggling in parenting. And so if, as a clinician, we kind of start unpacking some of these things and I'm pointing you in a different direction of like, well, sure, there's anxiety symptoms, but if we don't address some of these other pieces, we're probably not going to address the anxiety. And if you have shown up to therapy with, lady, this is my agenda, and this is what we're talking about, therapy may not feel like it's working for you.
Because you have an idea of an expectation, right?
Yes.
Expectations are super dangerous, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like, I think that really resonates for me. Like, you go to therapy thinking you're addressing one thing or a symptom, and don't really realize that there's factors underlying that symptoms that are the things you really need to root out, right? And that's what you're doing in therapy. Yeah.
And sometimes it's even in, right, the processing together that as a unbiased, you know, party hearing about your life, I get to say, huh, this dynamic that exists, could that be contributing to the anxiety? Right. Oh, this, you know, the way your family has operated has created a narrative that now is feeling uncomfortable to you. And right. so, again, if you were showing up to therapy with, this is what's going on, this is what I want to change, the experience can just be different than what you expected.
Right.
Yes, I think the expectation piece is another one of my soapboxes. But I think it's so real. Yeah. And so I think to be successful doesn't feel like the right word, but I can't think of something different in therapy. I think sometimes you have to approach it a bit open-handed of, I want to be a healthier and whole human. This is what I think I'm bringing to the table. Am I open to this and other things being brought to the table as well?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So we talk a lot about processing emotions, and we were just discussing this. Like, I think even the concept of processing or why you would process emotions just is not clear. It's not clear for most people who have not done this. So can you just talk just a little bit? Maybe we could deep dive this later, but just talk a little bit about.
Sure. I mean, again, expectations right. of what therapy is. I definitely have people who show up and they're like, this is my issue. Right. You are a quote unquote expert. Fix it.
Right.
And while that may not be their specific language, that's essentially what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I am very, very open as a therapist of, my job is not fixing. My job is to hold space. I believe people often have tools and skills inside of themselves that they haven't tapped into or have forgotten exist. And so much of my work is giving people space to process their life stuff and offer maybe a different perspective.
Right.
Oftentimes encouragement of, oh, I see what you're doing. I see what you're bringing to this relationship. It's naming for other people sometimes what is going on. Mm. I also think part of why processing is important is because I keep going back to anxiety because I think people understand anxiety.
Right.
And if you didn't or you don't, go watch the movie that came out. It was a kid movie.
Oh,
Inside Out 2.
Inside Out 2, yeah.
If anxiety is foreign to you, go watch that movie. Like, pause the episode, go watch that movie, and then come back, and you'll, like, understand better what anxiety is. So often, it's that spinny inside of you.
Right.
Sometimes, coming to therapy and processing is moving the spinny from inside of you to just bringing that out. And so often, I think we allow that inside churning, spinning discomfort and naming those things, processing them out, speaking them to someone else takes away their power in at least two ways. First of all, I think anything that we hold in darkness when we bring out to light with another person, it loses some of its power.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we name something, we are like also naming a piece of our story or experience that needs further exploration. And so I often think about like a tree that has grown roots. And sometimes that dark spinny inside of us, when we bring that tree out, it's just like a little sapling and it was pretty easy to unroot. And we can look at it and say like, oh, that's not that scary. And so the next time I feel spinny, I can think about, I've made this tiny thing really big, and that's not what it is. Sometimes we bring out what we think is a tiny sapling, and we realize it is a mature oak that, like, that's actually where we need to focus our work. Yeah. And so this idea of, to me, processing in, like, the most simplest terms is just speaking your story out loud to allow someone else to hold it with you.
That's good.
Again, maybe we're going to make this joke every episode, but that is why my business is with counseling, because my skill as a clinician is to sit with you while you tell your story, while we name the things that are hindering you and collaborate together to like find healthy coping skills, find how are you going to process this out further. And so to me, that's when therapy, quote unquote, works.
Right.
It's that you are showing up as the client ready to do the work. And I, as the clinician, have the education and expertise to meet you. And I'm also doing like my own work of making sure like I can show up to you in a healthy way. I have the mental and emotional capacity to meet you in your time of need. And so it's like we're both kind of having to show up to do the work.
Right.
So, I mean, I think when people say like, oh, well, therapy didn't work for me, there's several reasons why that could be.
Hmm.
You know, I think sometimes the fit is just not correct. And I acknowledge that is such a hard part of therapy, right?
It's like finding the right person. What do you mean by fit?
Yes, finding the right person that you can do the work with.
Okay.
So for instance, I was just meeting with someone and I referred to myself as a gentle clinician. And she was like, oh, that articulates who you are. Hmm. So if someone makes a call to me, a consult call, and they say, I'm looking for someone who's highly structured, is going to give weekly homework, preferably like through a workbook or worksheets, I'm really open about that's not how I practice. I'm probably not going to be the best fit for you.
Right.
I am a little less structured. I'm more gentle. And so sometimes you may even think like, oh, I want someone who's gentle, or I may want someone who's super structured. And then you realize like that structure isn't actually helping in the way that you had hoped.
Right.
And so to me, like a therapist clinician fit, sometimes it's just like I keep expressing myself and I don't think that they're understanding who I am and how I operate.
Sure.
Again, you're probably not going to want to continue in therapy if you've like put yourself out there and emotionally that, you know, couldn't be met. I also think sometimes people think that they're ready to do the work. And again, if you're showing up with some anxiety and you just think it's anxiety, you are okay to do that work.
Right.
If I maybe sit with you for a few sessions and say, hey, there's this dynamic in your marriage or in your family of origin, and I'm kind of seeing this theme, you may be at a place that you are not mentally and emotionally ready to address the thing that actually needs to be addressed.
Right.
And so sometimes, like, that is a conversation that I have with my clients of, we can do this, you know, anxiety work if you aren't quite ready to jump into this other piece. It may not be as quote unquote effective as you would like. And sometimes it's just even that you need to build rapport. You know, sometimes I will meet with someone for years before they feel comfortable to be like, hey, I know we've met weekly for 2 years and here's this huge life altering event that happened that I just haven't felt comfortable enough to share before.
Yeah.
And so if you're not in a place that you can, you know, spend the resources, both time and money, to build that rapport to like where you need to kind of unpack some of these bigger things, that could be another reason why you don't feel that therapy worked for you.
Yeah.
And so I want to acknowledge like that is also a really valid and real part of the process. To me, one of the most one of the coolest experiences for me is when someone has had a poor therapy experience, whether, you know, for whatever reason that was, and oftentimes maybe more than once, and they come back and say, hey, I'm willing to try this again.
Right.
As a clinician, I'm always asking questions like, what happened? Why did you not return to that therapist that you've talked so highly of? Or, and, you know, a lot of times it's, they stopped taking my insurance. My insurance changed. They moved out of state. Like, things that I can't control.
Sure.
Sometimes it's like, well, she spoke to me in this manner. She or he, you know, showed up like this. They treated me in a way that felt, and that's just something that I keep in the back of my mind of how is the client feeling in my presence? How am I helping even heal to the best of my ability? Like their experience just with therapy as a whole.
Yeah, that makes sense. So many places there's so many thoughts. To go back to your oak analogy or the tree and rooting it out, I just wonder how many people there are out there who are living with an oak in their lives somewhere and just don't even know it because it's so normalized, right? They just like have a persistent anxiety that's always there, but it's always been there. And so they don't even know that there could be something different, right?
Yes. And I think sometimes we know something and we choose not to address it. I also think...
Is it more comfortable to have it? Is that why you don't address it? Like, what's the...
Sometimes okay. I think it's more... It's easier to hold on to what we know than try something different. Mm. I also think, again, this idea that, like, therapy is for other people.
Right.
You may know that you're not functioning at your best, but it doesn't warrant therapy. Mm. And I think so often we think we have to be in crisis. My life has to be falling apart to show up and seek therapy. And I think if more people sought therapy when life was a little uncomfortable versus my whole life is on fire.
Right.
It's just different work.
Yeah. You can handle maybe that fire later on better because you laid a foundation of health.
Yes. Right? Yes. Beforehand. And I think it's also being attuned to how you feel, but what other people are saying to you. Mm. Have, you know, sometimes I often meet with people who say, like, I've just been anxious as long as I can remember.
Right.
Well, how was anxiety talked about in your family? Was there shame around that? Mm. Were you dismissed? Were the people, the adults in your life, not able to hold that emotion? And maybe you've done some of your own work or you have more awareness of what mental health is and you are with a partner or a friend who maybe comments on a behavior that you've normalized.
Right.
That someone else is naming as like, I don't know that that is healthy.
Yeah.
Or I've seen this pattern in you. Like having the openness to say, how do I feel about that? Could there be truth in that? Is that worth exploring, processing with another person? And I mean, I do think there are things like anxiety, some depressive symptoms that we categorize in ways that feel comfortable either for ourselves or the people in our life,
right.
How we name those things.
Right.
And sometimes just because we have normalized something does not mean it's okay.
Right. Yeah.
So I think, again, back to this tree analogy, like I think we forget that tree started as like a seed of a tree and grew over time.
Right.
And you may wake up one morning with a literal panic in your chest because the weight of whatever it is you've carried so long is now unbearable.
Right.
And so, again, a great time to go to therapy to kind of say, like, this is a part of me that I know has already existed. And the way it's showing up right now is different. So a lot of times for women, that is in it shows up in parenting.
Yeah.
Right? Like you've envisioned what being a parent will look like. Rarely does it go perfectly according to plan. And it's like, oh, that thing that I've always been able to keep in check doesn't feel as in check. Or, you know, sometimes it's partnership of, oh, now that I'm living with someone, even like roommate,
yeah,
of this part of me that I have just, you know, always named as part of who I am.
Right.
Someone else who is spending a lot of time with me is like, huh, that's kind of quirky.
Yeah. Why do you do that?
Yeah. And so, right. It also takes like some humility to be like, most of us, our knee-jerk response is, it's fine. I'm fine. This is normal.
Right.
And, you know, having a little bit of humility to be like, huh, maybe that's worth exploring. Or what do you mean by this isn't normal?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I feel like we've done a good job of talking about what is happens in therapy, right? Yes. And I want to go back to what you talked about earlier about how people come to you and they see you. They just assume that you're the expert, that you're going to fix it. And I mental health is health, right? So you go to a doctor and a doctor gives you a prescription and fixes what's ailing you, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what people come to an expectation of therapy with, right? But that's not what works, right? There are people that could give medicine. That is not what you do.
Correct.
In that situation. So does therapy actually work then, I think, is a question we probably haven't covered well enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like picking all my soapboxes today.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
So another soapbox that I do possess is therapy is going to take longer than most people want it to.
Sure.
Right? Like we spend potentially weeks together even exploring who you are, what is bringing you to therapy, who are kind of the players in your life.
Yeah.
And so I think it is a very normal expectation to be like, I want to feel better tomorrow.
Right.
And that is typically not what happens. I would say a lot of people will say, you know, a couple of days, for a few days after we meet, I feel quote unquote better.
Right.
Because part of it is I am hopefully taking some of the weight of whatever it is that brought you to therapy. So you're not carrying it alone.
Yeah. Bearing the burden with somebody else. Yeah.
And it just takes time.
Right.
I actually have a client right now who we've worked together for a while. And she will say, ugh, don't even tell me this is going to take longer than I thought that it would, because we've had that conversation so many times. And so again, in adjusting your expectations, something that I believe I am good at is helping you notice the baby steps along the way, because so often we are not noticing our own baby steps towards health.
That's good.
And when you take 20 baby steps, you look up and realize you're in a different space. And so to me, another way to know that therapy is quote unquote working is to be with someone who can reflect back to you, I see the growth.
Right.
Hey, that interaction that you just told me about as we were wrapping up our session,
right,
6 months ago,
yeah,
you would have like messaged me for an emergency session to address that. Now we made it all the way through and you're like, side note, this thing happened. Right. This is how I handled it. So again, my job as therapist and being my own healthy person is to be able to be like, hey, did you notice that that is a different way than you would have handled this,
right,
previously? And so sometimes that idea of working, again, the expectation is probably just different.
Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think, I mean, for a lot of these people, you've spent 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years establishing these patterns.
Yes.
And living in these patterns. And it's not going to change overnight, right?
Overnight. Yeah. It is what I used to always tell parents when I worked with adolescents. Three sessions in, they'd be like, they're the exact same kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, often saying you've had them for 12, 13, 14 years.
Right.
Establishing these things. And I think that is something to be mindful of if you are considering starting your own therapeutic journey. Of, we live in a society that is instant gratification.
For sure.
whether you want a bajillion shows to watch, you want everything delivered to your house, you can pay more to make those things happen even faster. And so therapy is often slow work.
Right.
And slowness often makes people uncomfortable. And so, again, part of my work as like a collaborative partner is to remind you, like, just because the work is slow does not mean it doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm always honestly really leery, you know, 4 to 6 sessions in when someone's like, oh my gosh, everything's great. Like, that is not, whatever you've done is not sustainable.
Right.
We are making these tiny baby steps forward. And those tiny baby steps are sustainable.
Right.
Like, sweeping life changes are not.
Right. Yeah. I know that from all of my New Year's resolutions.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think we probably nailed it. We
covered the things.
Covered it all. Yeah. It's perfect.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode where we shared our thoughts and experiences with how the therapeutic process can work. If you have questions or would like to connect, I'd love for you to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at CounselingWith, or send me a message from my website, counselingwith.com.